This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is what Ramadan is all about. You see, as humans, our iman, our faith, it goes up and down. We have days where we feel closer to Allah and days where we feel further away. We have days where we engage in more acts of ibadat and we have days where our sins are high. And the purpose of praying five times a day is to give us some stability, to give us some constant connection with Allah, so that we can keep coming back to Him and we can make up for our sins on a daily basis. Fasting and Ramadan play the same role, but on an annual basis. So if Salah keeps us grounded on a daily basis, Ramadan gives us that high of Iman that we can try and ride out for the entire year, even if we don't reach the same high with each passing month. And so Ramadan serves as an annual reminder of our potential, an annual reminder of the spiritual benefits and blessings that we get out of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the other benefits of fasting and of Ramadan, the other important one that we tend to overlook, and perhaps this is one of the most important ones because it's emphasized and repeated in many ahadith, is that Ramadan is a month of earning the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, going back to the concept that we sin, and we sin all the time. Allah created us to be weak. Allah created us as weak creatures who constantly fall into sin. And Allah, out of His rahmah, has created many ways to have our sins forgiven. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told us that from one salah to the next, every salah is a means of forgiveness for our sins. And he said from one Ramadan to the next is a means of forgiveness of everything in between. And from one Umrah to the next is a means of forgiveness for everything in between. And so Ramadan is meant to be a means of forgiveness for our previous sins. And there are many other ahadiths to back this up. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من صام رمضان إيمانه واحتسابه غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with sincere faith and hoping for Allah's reward, all of their past sins are forgiven. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام ليال رمضان إيمانه واحتسابه غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever spends the nights of Ramadan in salah, in prayer, in the late night prayers, with iman and seeking Allah's reward, their past sins are forgiven. وَمَنْ قَوَمَ لَيَتُ الْقَدْرِ إِمَانُ وَاحْتِسَابَ غُفِرُ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever spends the night of Qadr in worship of Allah with iman and sincere hope in Allah's mercy, then all of their past sins are forgiven. And when it comes to the du'as that we are supposed to make in Ramadan, the most famous du'a, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّ قَافُونَ تُحِبُ الْأَفُّ فَعْفُ أَنِّي. Oh Allah, You are forgiving. You love to forgive, so forgive me. This is the dua we make in the last 10 nights, right? Put all of this together. The hadith saying from one Ramadan to another is a means of forgiveness. The hadith saying whoever fasts a month of Ramadan is a means of forgiveness. The hadith that says whoever prays Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan is a means of forgiveness. The hadith that says whoever spends Laylatul Qadr in worship is a means of forgiveness. The hadith saying the dua you should make in the last 10 nights is, oh Allah, forgive me. What are all of these hadiths telling us? What is the common theme across all of these ahadiths? Ramadan is about earning Allah's forgiveness. That's the common theme. We sin. All year round we sin. Allah gives us His 29 days to earn His forgiveness. But how do you earn the forgiveness of Allah in the month of Ramadan? A mistake some of us do is that we focus only on the ritual side of Ramadan. So we fast, but while we are fasting, we are still looking at haram, we are still backbiting, we are still slandering, we are still gossiping. We are not controlling our tongues, we are not controlling our eyes, we are not controlling our hearts. And then we wonder why Ramadan didn't make a difference to our souls. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that there are people who get nothing out of their fasting besides hunger and thirst. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there are some people who get nothing out of their fasting besides hunger and thirst. Meaning they don't get any reward for their fasting. Why? Another narration explains, and he said that while they are fasting, they were backbiting someone. They were slandering someone. They didn't control their tongues. Think about this. Ramadan is about earning Allah's forgiveness. There are certain sins that Allah does not forgive unless the person forgives. Backbiting someone, slandering someone, gossiping someone, these are sins you have to ask that person for forgiveness. So if you are spending the month of Ramadan committing such sins where the forgiveness of those sins are dependent on people forgiving you, then what are the chances of leaving Ramadan with our sins forgiven? And so we need to start looking at Ramadan holistically. It's not just about fasting. It's not only about the salah. These are important parts of Ramadan. But it's also about our hearts. It's also about our tongues. It's also about being better in every way that we can. So we earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this means improving the quality of our ibadat in the month of Ramadan. So focusing on fasting, how do you improve the quality of your fast? You improve the quality of your fast by not just staying away from food and drink, but from staying away from the sins of the tongue, and from staying away from the sins of the eyes. Which means while you are fasting, you do not look at anything that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not say anything that is hurtful to anyone or displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your fasting is not just a fast from food and drink. It is a fast from sin. This is how you improve the quality of your fast. That you stay away from sins while you are fasting. What about the quality of our night prayer? The famous hadith. And the problem with how we narrate this hadith is we tend to get caught up on the wrong side of it, right? The very famous hadith about Aisha radiallahu anha when she was asked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's night prayers. And we spend so much time having heated debates over the number of rakats he mentioned in this hadith that we forget the actual point that she's trying to make with this hadith, right? About the quality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's night prayer. So this hadith, which is found in most of the major books of hadith, including the Muwatta Ibn Malik, it is narrated that Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, كَيْفَ كَانَ قِيَامُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. How was the prayer at night of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan? Important, look at the question. Aisha was not asked how many rakats did he pray. She wasn't asked about how many rakats should we pray. She was asked, how was his prayer? Meaning, what was the type of, what was the quality of the prayer? What stood out about his prayer? And she answers in two parts. And we tend to only focus on the first part. The first part, she said, that the Prophet ﷺ never prayed more than 11 rakats in and out of Ramadan. He never prayed more than 11 rakats in and out of Ramadan. She broke it down 4, 4 and 3. That is, you know, there's 8 of the night prayer and then the 3 of the witr. That's how she got to 11. He never prayed more than that. Now, what happens with us is we stop there, we stick to that, and we turn into a heated fiqh discussion, right? The one group is saying that Tarawih is 11 rakats, the other is saying no, it's 20 rakats, and we fight with each other over this. Understand that 11 rakats was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, 20 rakats was the sunnah of many of the Sahaba. Both sides are following the sunnah of the first generation. You're fighting over nothing. You're fighting over something where both opinions can be found in the tradition. That's not the point of the hadith. The hadith is not about how many rakats is the night prayer. What's the point of the hadith? كَيْفَ كَانَ قِيَامُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. How was the quality of the prayer of the Prophet ﷺ? So you go to the second half of the hadith. What did Aisha say? She said he never prayed more than 11 rakats. But I cannot explain to you how long was his qiyam and how long was his sajda. Right? I cannot explain to you how long was the qiyam and how long was the sajda. Meaning, Rasulullah sometimes he prayed only 2 rakats of qiyam al-layl. But those 2 rakats would take up the entire night. Sometimes he would pray 4. But he would spend so long in sajda, his wife Aisha would have to touch his legs to see if he's still alive. That's how long he would spend in sajda. It was never a set number of rakats. It was about the quality. It was about spending the night connecting to Allah, talking to Allah, engaging with Allah, being close to Allah, asking Allah. That's what the night prayer was about. It was about connecting with Allah. Sometimes there wouldn't be 2 rakats, sometimes it would be 4 rakats, sometimes it would be 11 rakats. Right? Later on, some of the Sahaba settled on 20 because that was easier for the people. It was easier for the people to pray 20 rakats over 11 because 20 rakats means more breaks. Right? If you ever been to a masjid where they pray 11 rakats Tarawih, they sometimes reciting 3 juz in those 8 rakats. Right? So it's actually much harder than praying 20 rakats, so you have more breaks. So that's why they increased it to 20, to make it easier for the people. But here's something interesting that people don't realize. Umar radiallahu anhu, who initiated the Taraweeh in the masjid of 20 rakats behind the imam, he actually used to pray by himself the Hajj time instead. And he never prayed a specific set number of rakats. He focused on the quality of the prayer. And one more point on that from the fiqh perspective, you actually won't find in the books of hadith a chapter on Taraweeh. It's simply the chapter of praying at night in the month of Ramadan. The word Taraweeh was invented 200 or 300 years later. Actually, I think longer than that, because the books of hadith were written 300 years after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and they still never used the word Taraweeh. So it was probably invented 400 or 500 years after the Prophet's time. Because by the time of Imam Bukhari, this word didn't exist yet, and that's 300 years after the Prophet's time. But if you open Sahih Bukhari, he has a chapter of praying at night in the month of Ramadan. Praying at night in the month of Ramadan. More interestingly, on the fiqh perspective, when you open Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani's narration of the Muwatta of Imam Malik, Imam Muhammad was one of the main Hanafi scholars, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa. But he also was a student of Imam Malik. So in his version of the Muwatta of Imam Malik, he always states the Hanafi opinion. So in his version of the Muwatta, we have this hadith of 11 rakats, and then we have a statement from Imam Abu Hanifa's student saying, this is what we follow, that it's okay to pray at night in Ramadan voluntarily. He doesn't mention a specific number of rakats, and he said it's a voluntary prayer. Again, very different from how we understand it today. And perhaps we'll have a separate khutbah on the fiqh of the night prayer. But the main point here is the quality of the prayer. The quality of your salah, the quality of your fasting depends on the controlling of the tongue and the heart and the eyes. The quality of your salah depends on your khushu, your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I would say that for some people, they may have more reward in praying 2 or 4 rakats of night prayer in Ramadan, where there is khushu, there is concentration, there is connection with Allah, there is long sajdas, there is long qira'at, there is crying. They will get more reward for that than praying 20 rakats but you're daydreaming and just waiting to get over with it. For each person it's different. For some people it's better to pray the 20 because otherwise they're not going to pray anything at all, right? But if you are focused on improving the quality of your ibadat, then we have to start looking at the night prayer the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba looked at it. And that was an opportunity to connect with Allah in the last 1/3 of the night in the month of Ramadan. That's what the night prayer is meant to be. So let us focus this Ramadan on improving the quality of our worship. We have 5 weeks. 5 weeks to prepare our hearts and minds for Ramadan. Let us spend these 5 weeks thinking of how am I going to be better? How am I going to improve the quality of my fasting? How am I going to improve the quality of my night prayers? What extra ibadat am I going to do? What sins am I going to try and give up? So when Ramadan comes, it doesn't hit us suddenly, but we are ready to welcome the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير حديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. There is a narration attributed to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, and Allah knows best to its authenticity, but the narration's meaning is definitely in line with our tradition. And this narration says that the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked him, they asked him, how did the Sahaba prepare for Ramadan? How did the Sahaba prepare for Ramadan? So you may think that the answer would be they started fasting before Ramadan, they started praying the Qiyamul Layl before Ramadan. He gives a very interesting answer. He said, we would not like to enter the month of Ramadan with an atom's worth of hatred for anyone in our hearts. This was the answer of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. How did y'all prepare for Ramadan? By removing from our hearts any hatred towards any Muslim. I want us to think about this. Sometimes we end up breaking ties with our family members or friends over trivial worldly issues. Somebody lost their temper. Somebody said something they shouldn't have said. You know, somebody made a mistake. And we end up breaking ties with them. And we spend the month of Ramadan praying our salah, fasting, but we never try to reconcile with them. Understand that breaking ties is a major sin. the fasting and the salah of Ramadan is a forgiveness for minor sins. Major sins, especially one like breaking family ties, to make up for this major sin, you have to do tawbah and you have to patch up with that person. You have to make an attempt to patch up with that person. And it may be harder for many of us in Ramadan to give that person a call and ask them for forgiveness than to pray Taraweeh. But that's actually the good deed we need to focus on. If we really want to have pure hearts this Ramadan, it's time that we reach out to anyone who we may have cut off ties with, whether it's a friend or a family member or any member of this ummah. And maybe they were wrong. Maybe they said something they shouldn't have said. Maybe they had a very sharp tongue. Maybe they hurt your feelings. Right? Maybe they really did something stupid that you're still angry with them about it. You're still angry with them about it. But for the sake of Allah, and for the sake of your soul, and for the sake of their soul, you forgive them. And this was the methodology of the Sahaba. We have many narrations showing us that the Sahaba would worry more about this issue, about their hearts being free from hatred towards other people, than many of the other things that we take as more important. And they would go out of their way to forgive people when they wrong them. I'll give one example, and we close up with this example. Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, the great poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leading poet of the Ansar, the one who when he spoke, Jibreel would back him up. During the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, he was one of those people who slandered her. He was one of the people who slandered Aisha radiallahu anha. And of course, he slandered not just Aisha, but when you slander two people, right? So it was Aisha and a man who were both slandered. And that man actually waited in a bush for Hassan to go past on his way to the masjid and beat him up, right, for slandering him. It was a very intense time. Then we have narrations 20, 30, 40 years later, when Aisha radiallahu anha is teaching her classes, and one of the students says something bad about Hassan, Aisha would correct him and say, "Don't speak bad about him, he was the poet of Rasulullah." Don't speak bad about him, Jibreel used to take his side during his poems. Imagine that. This man slandered our mother Aisha with what we would consider the worst possible slander, right? But he paid the price in this world, he received the lashing in this world. She forgave him and moved on, and she wouldn't let people badmouth him. She wouldn't let people badmouth him. We have narrations 20 years later and even 30 years later, where people tried to badmouth him in the presence of Aisha and she would correct them and say, "You're not allowed to talk bad about him." This is the attitude we need to have. If Aisha radiallahu anha could forgive Hassan ibn Thabit for such a terrible slander against her, then we can forgive our family and friends for whatever mistakes they have made. So let us enter the month of Ramadan with pure hearts. And that means spending the next 5 weeks patching things up. Give somebody a call who you haven't spoken to for a long time. Ask people for forgiveness where there's been something boiling between you for a long time. Rebuild those relationships. Not just with your family, but with your former friends and with other members of the ummah. Because at the end of the day, whatever happened between you and another Muslim, you are still brothers and sisters in Islam. And they still have the rights of a Muslim upon you. And so if we want to enter Ramadan with clean hearts and earn the forgiveness of Allah, it starts with us forgiving others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again going back to the incident of Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the other people who slandered her was her own cousin. And her father Abu Bakr wanted to cut her cousin off for that. And then Allah revealed the verse saying, "Forgive him, don't you want Allah to forgive you? Forgive him, don't you want Allah to forgive you?" Let us take this approach to dealing with our family. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna muttaqina imama. Allahumma ansur mujahidina fi Filastin, allahumma ansur mustad'afina fi Filastin, allahumma aid al-muslimin. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.